Nuketown Radioactive number 33 for Monday, July 10th, 2006. Well, folks, my name is Ken Newquist, and you're listening to Radioactive number 33. And if I sound a little tired, it's because, well, I'm actually a hell of a lot tired. And only by making sure that I have the proper level of caffeination am I able to bring the podcast to you. Because, well, you know, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I am a new dad again. We got the baby Lucas, who is doing great, but, you know, babies don't. Well, I shouldn't say that. Babies sleep a lot. They just don't necessarily sleep when we would really like them to sleep. And Lucas, for the most part, is pretty good. I mean, he gives us a couple of nights a week where he sleeps for, you know, 3, 4, even 5 hours. But then, you know, he's up at maybe 3 in the morning. Or maybe he doesn't go to bed until 12. And, His active time, his days and nights have been a little bit screwed up. So, he's been awake from like, he'll be awake from like maybe 7 to 9 in the morning or 8 to 10 in the morning and then sleep throughout the day and then gets really, up again maybe from 8 to 12 or from 9 to 12 or something like that. So it makes for long days for the parents, and it just can be kind of exhausting when you also factor in Jordan and her sleep schedule not really syncing up with his sleep schedule. So if by some miracle Luke sleeps until 8, then Jordan's up at 5, informing us that the sun isn't up yet. And then when we tell her to go back to bed, coming back and telling us that the sun is now up, which, it's good to get the weather reports from the 3-year-old, but, maybe not at 5:30 in the morning. But things are going great on the kid front. Lucas is just a really, really cute kid. And he's definitely, his cycle's slowly coming around. He's been spending more and more time awake. And he actually smiled at me for the first time the other day, which was just, it's one of those moments that you live for as a dad. When they first, a lot of times, when they first come home, obviously, they're really kind of obsessed with sleeping, pooping, peeing, eating, and doing those things over and over again. And usually, if they're looking around, if they're active, they're just kind of like looking and seeing what's going on. But just the other day, we were just hanging out down in the dining room, and he smiled at me and was reacting to some of the things I did, which was kind of cool. So, not kind of cool. It was freaking awesome. Makes me very happy as a dad. And I gotta say, on the geek kid front, he's loving the Superman Returns soundtrack, which I'm working on a review of for the website. I will say right now that it's a better soundtrack. The soundtrack is better than the movie, especially if you really love the first two movies in the Superman franchise. I mean, Superman Returns is okay, and when I get a chance, maybe I'll write something on that as well. But the soundtrack just was really good. I really enjoyed it, and Lucas does too, because sometimes he'll just be kind of hanging out, starting to fuss. He just can't get himself settled, and you turn on that Superman overture, and man, he just goes right into a groove. He doesn't go to sleep, but just kind of hangs out and listens to the music. Sue says it's because it's classical music or classically inspired music, and babies react to that. And I think to a certain extent that's true, but I mean, he's my son. He's gotta like Superman, right? Now, talking about music, the opening track for this podcast was the Colonial Anthem from Battlestar Galactica Season 2, the soundtrack. And La La Land Records has given me permission to play the tracks on the podcast, and I'm going to be doing a review of the soundtrack later on. And I'm really excited about this because for two reasons. First of all, it's a good soundtrack. Second of all, I got a lot of positive feedback from the show where I reviewed the original Season 1 soundtrack, and I think folks are going to enjoy it. So, I like talking about stuff that people are going to enjoy. The other good news, the other exciting site news, is that the new Nuketown is here. After months of me talking about it and you enduring listening to me talk about it, the site is finally up, running, everything's transferred, everything's working. You can go to the site at www.nuketown.com. You can log in and create an account, and you can actually post comments to stuff. You can vote in polls, and it's pretty cool. The forum's not up yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it active because I want to see if anyone actually posts any comments. I've got about a dozen users who are on the site already, but what we don't have is a lot of comments. I guess there's four or five, of which three or four of those are from me. One was from my friend Lance, which, I thank you, Lance, very much for posting a comment. And I think it's kind of just a question of me, a couple of things. First of all, people got to realize they can do it. So, that's why we're talking about in the podcast. But also, part of it is about me changing my writing style a bit and posting some stuff that people will want to respond to. I mean, for the last 10 years, I really haven't had to worry about that on Nuketown. There's been two-way communication. I mean, I've had a forum every once in a while, and people will send me feedback through email or through the contact form on the website. But it's mostly been me talking to folks and not really having to worry about trying to get a conversation started. But I'd really like to get those conversations started. I mean, I am a little envious of Uncle Bear and you know, other sites that are able to, or John Scalzi's whatever site, where they're able to get good conversations going amongst the users of the site. And I know that the our users are cool and they got things they'd like to talk about. So it's just a question of providing them with a forum to do that. So what I've been working on is coming up with some stuff that's a little bit more comment worthy. One of the things I have up there now, I just posted a kind of an editorial about please remember to pay the starving science fiction writer, which is partly a response to Cory Doctorow's essay on Locus Magazine about science fiction is the only literature people care enough to steal about to steal on the internet, which is a cool column. He raises some very interesting points, but you know, I think that he doesn't go far enough in saying that it's worth it. It's in our best interest as fans to pay writers for what they do, and I think that that kind of gets lost, especially when you're dealing with the folks who think that you know you can download anything on the internet and it doesn't hurt anyone. Well, if somebody writes a best-selling, you know, what could be a best-selling novel, and they don't make a dime off of it because you're just making copies of it. You know, I think that's wrong, and I think that the creator of the content should get something in return. And I think as fans, we owe it to him to make sure that, you know, we buy the book when it's in print or whatever. And I think, you know, Corey's point is that people are doing that. They buy his books when he's made them available for free on the web. Scalzi certainly, you know, he made a book available on the web for free, and it played a fairly large role in him getting a job, you know, getting a the writing gig that let him get Old Man's War published and the Ghost Brigades. And his blog has kind of encouraged people to do that, and people are responding. But, you know, I think it helps to state it sometimes. And that's what that column is about. So, hey, you know, I think that's the kind of thing I'm trying to do. I'm not necessarily trying to provoke controversy, but I'm trying to get some ideas out there and trying to see what people's responses are going to be. Some of the other stuff I'm working on, I've got some ideas on how to use a wiki for a role-playing game campaign as something that's kind of halfway between your conventional role-playing where people are posting a character and maybe your computer-based role-playing game where, you know, it's not really about role-playing, but it's more exploring the setting. And I'm thinking about something along the lines of maybe I, as the game master in this environment, set up the wiki as a town. And I'm thinking particularly of a post-apocalyptic kind of gamma world type town. And then you as the users come in and you start posting, you know, your own additions to the town or starting conversations at the different locations in the town. And allowing the campaign to basically grow both from a story standpoint, as the characters interact with each other and the various challenges that I would, as the GM, would throw out, but also, you know, letting players take the initiative and maybe going off and exploring stuff on their own, creating new content for other players to explore. And the whole idea behind what I'm thinking is that it kind of, when you have a play by email or play by post or whatever, and I have certainly had some experience with this, you kind of run into this problem where you're constantly waiting for somebody to do something. And with a wiki, it might provide the outlet for the folks, you know, giving them something to do while they're waiting for somebody else to respond. And it would facilitate having multiple storylines going on simultaneously, which is something that theoretically the web would be good at. So that's another story that I'm going to be posting probably sometime this week once I get all my ideas together. Something else I'm working on, I decided that I want to revisit the Matrix trilogy because I got a couple of essays based on the Matrix that I've been thinking about writing for a while, and here's how I'm going to handle it. For the one part, I'm going to be blogging The Matrix, where I'm basically just going to write a bunch of blog entries about The Matrix as I watch it and the sequels over the next couple of weeks. And I'm planning on watching them like kind of like 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, as time and Lucas allows. And then just kind of be building on some of those ideas as well. I got some things kicking around. So that will hopefully be a conversation starter. And the last thing will be my, I gotta say they were fairly popular and well-received, my Libertarian Gamer columns from about, I guess a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago at this point, but I wrote a series of columns about basically using libertarian ideas in a game, and it got good responses from a whole bunch of different people, and not just libertarians. I mean, people who just thought, hey, there was a cool idea, that I was doing fun stuff. You know, not everybody likes to get the mix politics and gaming together, and I'm certainly not advocating it on a regular basis, but I think it's fun as a thought experiment, and it is, you know, I do throw out some ideas that, you know, maybe someday I'll run with them, you know? It's not like all the guys in my campaign are libertarians, but I think it's possible to do these sorts of things that maybe make it more of an ideas game without alienating the people who are in your group. But so that's another potential for people to comment. But, you know, you don't have to wait for all that stuff. If you want, you can just stop by the site, post some comments and reply to this particular podcast, and let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of the season 2 soundtrack. Let me know what you think about the new website, and give me recommendations on blogs and podcasts and other stuff that you think I should talk about on the show. The communication channels are open, folks, and I'm just waiting for folk to open hailing frequencies.
The Does My Geek Look Big in This podcast.
Yeah. It's just chocker full of
beer,
gaming, films and TV stuff.
Stuff, you know.
Cat handling. Beer drinking.
Beard drinking. Beard handling.
Okay. I don't know. How do you describe role playing?
Who cares?
What does it smell like? Chocolate.
Armpit?
That's not good. Okay, pass it over here.
Dude, it does. It sounds a bit weird, actually.
www.doesmygeek.com.
So, I don't have a lot for sites of note this week, mostly because I really haven't come across much that I want to talk about just yet. Kind of in a bit of a lull as far as the internet goes. I mean, while I am a web developer at my day job, you know, I have a lot of work to do and don't necessarily have a huge amount of time to surf the web, and I just haven't come across that much stuff that's really been exciting me. That having been said, I have come across a new crop of podcasts, which I'm going to be writing about in my Next Nights at the Dinner Table column. And I'm I've got them queued up, and I'm starting to listen through shows. And the next couple of podcasts, I will definitely be having some new shows to talk about. And there's been one or two new sites that I've kind of thrown up in Delicious that I just need to kind of go through and figure out what I actually want to talk about. But one of the things that I do want to talk about right now is UncleBear.com's podcasting project. There'll be a link to this in the show notes. And basically what Baron's looking for is... it's a pretty cool idea. He's talking about doing a series of podcasts contributed by various members of the gaming community, talking about the various intersections of gaming. So massively multiplayer games with regular role playing games, regular role playing games with spouses, kids with games. You know, all these kinds of things that come together perpendicular, you know, at right angles. Combinations you might not necessarily think of. And I think it sounds like a great project, so I've already volunteered to do some stuff, and I'm working here trying to kind of put some stuff together to figure out exactly what we want to do. My friend Lance and I have been talking about some possible topics, including kids and gaming, because he's got an older kid, I've got a younger kid, and, you know, there's all kinds of different issues that come up there. And also, one of the things we're talking about, Lance used to be really active in our role-playing game campaign. He's kind of stepped back a bit, hasn't been playing with us as much, but he's still playing World of Warcraft. And one of the topics that kind of comes up on Uncle Bear fairly frequently in the comment threads is massively multiplayer online games versus, or just as Baron was calling them, massives, which I think is a great way to refer to them, massives versus RPGs, and why you would want to play a massive when you could have a pen and paper game. And I think Lance will be a good guy to answer that question. So it looks to be a really cool project. Baron's looking for more folks, so if you want to learn about this, please follow the link in the show notes. Now, as I was just saying earlier, I am looking for new blogs, podcasts, vlogs. I'm particularly looking for vlogs. If you don't know what a vlog is, it's a video blog. Basically, it's amateur video that you can download, you know, shows just like podcasts, but video. And I think video gotta be a lot harder, because I've thought about the possibility of doing a vlog, and you know, the amount of effort you'd have to put into it, I think, probably exceeds the amount of time I will have for the next 10 years. But that doesn't change the fact that I want to start looking for other, you know, looking for what's out there, and if I can, you know, promoting it. So if you know of a geek vlog, let me know. So if you've got one, send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com. Or if you have any link or game or anything that you think I should check out, send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com. Or post a comment to the show notes.
Hi, welcome to the Harping Monkey. What'll you have?
Hi, I'm Mick Bradley from the House of the Harping Monkey, a fantasy tavern and online community for geeks and fans of mythic media and misfit culture. I'm here to invite you to join us at the Round Table, a bi-weekly podcast that I host with Chris Miller and KJ Johnson, these two guys I found sleeping in the back alley. We talk about role-playing, speculative fiction, comic books, film and TV, and all that geeky stuff. Of course, there are a lot of great geek culture podcasts out there already covering all those subjects. So what we bring to the table is a focus on how it all relates to concepts like myth and truth and archetypes and the works of guys like Joseph Campbell. Yeah, we get all deep and philosophical sometimes.
Last week we left on kind of a high note. There's been a lot of discussion up on the forums about myth, and myth is truth, and truth is myth, and we pretty much lit a bonfire out there.
It would seem so. It's,
yeah, who the heck is that guy?
Apparently we know virtually nothing about him, or her.
He's a mystery shrouded in enigma wrapped in bacon.
I'm a lapsed gamer. I finally came out. Yeah, people are lapsed Catholics. I'm a lapsed gamer. I can't find a game I can believe in. We sent everyone out last week to do some homework to find what the hero's journey was in some aspect of life, pop culture, media, whatever.
All right. Well, for mine, I wanted to choose something that kind of showed my, let's call it, emotional maturity. So I picked the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Right. Well, I chose the musical. The story of it is actually based on an actual Greek myth. I'm going to do the Rocky Horror Show. You might not have realized it was based on an actual Greek myth, but it was.
So if you want to listen to some geeks who know barely enough about all this monomyth stuff to get away with talking about it, come visit our tavern at harpingmonkey.com and grab the feed for the Round Table and give us an hour of your time. Visit the Harping Monkey Tavern at harpingmonkey.com and treat yourself to some time at the Round Table. You can also find us on iTunes and most other podcast collectives. We're even a part of the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, the Gaming Podcast Network, and the Goblin Broadcast Network. How spiffy is that?
So now comes the time to talk about Battlestar Galactica Season 2 soundtrack. This is my kind of soundtrack. It is 23 tracks long, and it lasts an hour and 18 minutes, which is just, it's just awesome. And I've kind of ranted on this subject before. If I'm going to take the time as a geek, as a fan of a show, as a fan of a movie, and if I'm going to take the time and money to get that soundtrack and to listen to that soundtrack, then I want the actual tracks that were on the show. Don't give me inspired by, don't give me adapted from, don't give me just half of what was actually in the movie. Don't give me tracks that weren't in the movie, or, you know, or just give me what I heard in the movie. And, you know, if you've got some additional music above and beyond that maybe was supposed to be in the movie but didn't get to get in it, hey, that's cool too. Battlestar succeeds on all these fronts, and it's got the same musical diversity as the original soundtrack, but this time it's reinforcing and expanding the themes that it established, you know, earlier on in Season 1, while in addition adding wholly new tracks. So if you've got the Season 1 soundtrack and you're saying, well, is it really worth it to get Season 2? The answer to that question is most definitely yes. But if you're looking for something that's wholly new and different, like the first one was, as compared to, say, the original Battlestar series, you're not going to find that. You're going to find themes that are being developed and extended. Now, the first one I want to talk about is a track called Pegasus, which is just a beautiful track. And I got to say that as I listen to this particular track, which I'm going to play in a second here, I could just picture the Pegasus floating in space, the camera slowly drifting over her contours, you know, and that sense of awe and wonder as the fleet discovers another battle star. And, you know, that was just, it was cool for me when I was watching the series, and it just, listening to the track just brought me right back into the moment, which I think goes to show how good the music is, because it's able to establish those kinds of, that kind of emotional connection to what's actually happening on the scene. I mean, happening on the screen. I mean, when I listen to this track, I think exactly what I saw in the series, and that's great. You know, that's something that you don't get every time with a soundtrack. So don't take my word for it. Here is the track. That was Pegasus. I love that track. When I'm at work and I'm coding, I love listening to it. It just kind of gets me into a groove, and man, just kind of sums up what I love. It's perfect science fiction to me. Now, the next track I want to play an excerpt of is just because it's way too long. It's over 8 minutes long. Is Something Dark Is Coming, which is just a dark and discordant kind of track. It's doesn't really fit with the theme of it. Well, you know, it does. I mean, it certainly fits in with the overall theme of the season and with the music we've seen so far. But it's definitely a little different. It's a little off, and it's definitely unsettling at times. And here it is. I will be playing, we'll probably say about 2 or 3 minutes of this particular track, just so you can get a feel for it. So, great track. I mean, that one and Pegasus, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to them at work this week, guys. And last, and probably, well, every week since I got the soundtrack to review, I just really enjoyed it. Now, it's not all different. Both of these tracks, thematically, are pretty different from what we saw on the original Season 1 soundtrack. However, Scar is more what you'd expect from the new Battlestar. Lots of drums, a more primal feel to it. So I'm going to play it now, just so you can, you know, see that we've got some connections to the old soundtrack. There's quite a few tracks on this new soundtrack that sound like this, or are directly evoking themes from the original series. But, you know, since I went into that before with the Season 1 soundtrack, I don't think I need to get back into it again. Just trust me on this. If you liked Season 1 and you want to hear more of that sound, you'll get it by getting this soundtrack. So, that was Scar. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time to talk about the Colonial Anthem that I opened the show with, because I thought this was a really cool track. I love the idea that they needed to have an anthem for the series, and they decided to take, to actually play during the like swearing-in ceremonies and such on board the Galactica, and they did this. They took the original series theme and reworked it, brought back, you know, many of those, the same sounds and scoring of the original soundtrack, but worked it into something that sounds like it would be an anthem. And that track just really works for me, and I thought it was really classy of them to work, to have that connection back into the series, because I gotta say, guys, I was disappointed when I first watched the new Battlestar, and, you know, the very first time I watched the miniseries, and there was hardly a trace of the original music. Now, I know it's very John Williams-esque, you know, the original, and I know that it's got kind of a more space adventure type feel, but I still miss not having it there and only have the one little nod to it when they were doing the whole decommissioning of Galactica. But here it comes back. It comes back full force. And I really think it does an excellent job of paying homage to what came before while at the same time incorporating it into the new series in just a really cool and classy way. Now, there's a couple of other tracks I would love to play as part of the podcast, one of which would be Black Market, which is just an intense, aggressive track that is not in all keeping with the rest of the Battlestar Galactica mood, but it's all the more interesting for that, and it's actually the closest you'll get to kind of almost a rock-slash-metal-ish type track on Galactica, and they very wisely put this as the last track on the soundtrack, because it just doesn't really fit compared to everything else, but it worked for the episode Black Market, and it works as a standalone song in and of itself. I'd play it, but I'm running out of time. I'm already over 37 minutes, which means this file is going to be way larger than I'd like it to be. But overall, I got to say, this is definitely a good soundtrack. If you love Galactica, pick it up. It's worth it. So that'll about do it for this podcast. I know it was a little light on gaming. Don't worry, guys. I'll get back to that pretty soon. I've also got a bunch of other cool stuff lined up. Which, you know, I'm not really going to talk about it that much because, you know, if I talk about it, then it probably won't show up on the podcast for another 6 months. But, you know, as always, looking for feedback. You can send the comments to nuketown@gmail.com. You can Skype me. The username's Nuketown. And, of course, you already know this, but I'll just say it again because, you know, I really, really want comments. You can post them as comments on the show notes webpage.